Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams
and Elizabeth Wallace, and you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 412. And tonight, we're recapping Welcome to Night Vale number 248, Mother Lauren, which was not quite a standalone episode, I guess. There was a lot of, like, weirdness for the sake of weird, but you really have to know what's happened in the past of Night Vale to know why things are scary.
And it's definitely one that I'll be re-listening to fairly quickly because it's that nice level of creepiness. It even started out creepy. Joseph Fink did the little intro, and we both just kind of looked at each other because it sounded like there was something wrong with the recording, but it was like he would say a word, and then you would hear his voice insert another word on top of that, and that kept happening until the very end when he was like, and thank you, and then you hear this like very guttural sound from him that kind of goes on for a very long time. So I'm like, ooh, okay, that's a good sign.
Yeah. Cecil starts out the episode by saying they've got bad news, but he doesn't want to focus on the bad news. We'll start with some positive stuff. So we have some stuff about John Peters and a record-breaking ear of imaginary corn. We've got the Boy Scouts are doing like a drive to supply jackets for people, though if you're in need, you better give them a jacket. Wasn't sure what was going on there. Finally gets to the fact that something has actually emerged from the portal that leads to the desert otherworld, and it's not Kevin.
Nope, it is a 7-foot-tall figure. It looks to be a woman, and her eyes are long, and he knows that doesn't make sense, but that's just what they are, and she's got this smile, except it kind of looks like the smile has been carved into her face, and as he's talking, you hear his recording start getting staticky and then taking over, and then you hear it is Lauren from the Desert Otherworld, and she is now an entity known as Mother Lauren, and she is here to take over the airwaves, and the same thing that was happening to Joseph Fink's voice is happening to her, and she will say something, and then her voice will insert another word. Like, she talked about how she's here for outreach, and you hear her voice, slaughter. It's just that kind of creepiness is so hard to do. But I think the voice actress always does Lauren so perfectly. She's that wonderful combination of cheerfulness and menace.
Yeah, and there was also, like, if you've got your earphones on, the voice work, like, the audio is done so well because it's not just that a creepy word will kind of come in over her voice. I was feeling like they were bumping back and forth between, like, the left and right of the audio. So it was just very super unsettling while they were talking. But as things kind of went on, it kind of, the static came back and it goes back to Cecil's voice. And he's a little confused, but he tries to pick up and he's like, okay, let's talk TV. And we go into this commercial about Big Lucy's appliance, about getting a new TV.
Yeah, let's get on board with the new craze, watching TV, and just all the usual Night Vale weirdness, and assuming that nobody actually knows what a TV is, and it seems like every show that you can watch is some variation of Pawn Stars, and just, yeah.
Very odd. So we go from there into the sponsors, and the sponsors this week is eggs, and he's going on about it's all spheroids of goop, and you can open them, and they're squishy. And something about, what is it, eggs if you're a pervert?
I think the final tagline was, if you're a pervert, there's always eggs.
Yeah, but then Cecil kind of catches himself, and he's like, what am I doing? Our town is being invaded by this 10-foot-tall woman, and I'm talking about eggs? So he's kind of aware that something's going on, but he can't quite help himself at the same time.
Yeah, and he's talking about how she's moving through the streets, and she's now so tall and her arms are so long that she can reach out and brush the heads of people on both sides of the streets, which, that's a freaking Nightmare on Elm Street image, isn't it?
Yeah.
Him walking along the street and dragging his claws on both sides of the street. So that sort of thing, ugh, always gives me shivers. But when she touches people, they start singing, and they're singing Wrecking Ball, but they're replacing the words Wrecking Ball with Mother Lauren. And when she touches buildings, they go black and white. And when she touches trees, they start to cry. And Cecil is trying to resist, but he feels like it's all like his mind is being taken over. And then I think Lauren interrupts again at that point.
Yeah, and she's talking about how everyone needs to meet in Grove Park. She's telling everybody to go to Grove Park. And then I didn't write down everything because she's talking pretty fast. I'm writing down as fast as I can. She does say something about crows don't react well to eye contact. So it's very creepy.
Such a nice little embroidery project, I would think, for a Night Vale themed embroidery.
Yes. Crows do not react well to eye contact. Kind of like a t-shirt moment, except not. But Cecil does come back after a bit, and he's aware that something has been going on, but he's trying to stay professional, so he goes into his usual talk, and he's like, let's tackle the age-old question. Is a hot dog a pizza? Now, as long as we're on this, obviously I know what they're talking about, but I gotta ask you, because I hear this all the time. People are saying, is a hot dog a sandwich?
I think it is.
Oh, that's interesting, because I think it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's something different. I think it's not meat between two slices of bread. I think it's meat wrapped in bread is what I think it is.
Because I think the hinge on the hot dog bun makes it two slices, basically. But now,
interesting.
If you want to argue that a taco is a sandwich, no, I'm not going to agree with you there.
That's right, because I really do feel like a hot dog is closer to a taco than a sandwich.
So. but he goes into this whole description, and then he finishes with, you know, everybody needs to, if someone asks you, just tell them that this whole thing is settled, and we need to discuss the important things like, is cauliflower a taco?
God. We go from there, he takes us into the community calendar, and it's really basically just like it starts out subtle, like blah, 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 Monday, blah, 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 which is, you know, sponsored by Mother Lauren. Tuesday is the Burger Challenge. Wednesday is the free play day at the Desert Bowling Arcade and Fun Complex with Mother Lauren. And it just, as it goes on, we hear Mother Lauren more and more until his voice starts to like change and get really deep and weird.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Cecil doesn't know how to handle this. And he's telling everybody, do not go to Grove Park. Okay, he's suddenly seen that there are people who are running screaming away, so that's a good thing. And Mother Lauren is chasing them, and he's still fighting to keep her from controlling his mind. And then you hear Lauren's voice come in, now you've done it. And now Cecil has made her angry.
Yeah, she starts to talk, and she says, now you've made me enraged. But the thing that her voice has been doing the whole episode, where she says a word and another word is on top of it, this time she says a word and the same word is on top of it. And it's something like, she says at one point, entrails, and she says suffering. And it's just super creepy, really good editing and the audio stuff. And she says something like, but first, let's take a look at the weather. And we go into the weather.
And as she says weather, you hear the voice actress screaming over that, and then instantly we go to the weather.
And the weather this week was The Fallout by Sublets, and I've gotten written down pop, punk, rock, and a lot of electric guitar.
Yeah, tons of electric guitar. I really like the chord changes in this one. It was fun, and it was a really poppy version of a garage band. Like, a lot of shredding electric guitar going on there, so it was fun. It's another thing I need to add to the playlist.
Yeah. So we come back, and it's Cecil talking again, and he's very calm, but he's talking about once there was a nothing so complete that no one thought anything about it. It's kind of like the nothing that existed before you're born, which I've heard is a thing people talk about, how to not be scared of death, that what happens after death is the same thing that happens before you were born, and you weren't scared of what happened before you were born. So anyway, he says some people think that having something happening was a mistake, so they want to go back to the nothing, but they don't really remember what the nothing that was like, which I was just thinking, because we just had Towel Day the other day, and it's all like, you know, the universe was created, and a lot of people think this was a really bad idea.
I was definitely thinking that, and they're talking about, you know, people think that coming down to the trees was a bad idea, and some people think the trees themselves were a bad idea, and we should have never left the ocean.
Exactly. But in the end, before all of that existed, we had Mother Lauren.
And Mother Lauren used to be a 40-something administrator, I think, something like that. Mm-hmm. But then she's been transformed, and now she has existed since the beginning of time, since before time was even a concept.
Yeah, it's really... It just gets scarier and scarier as the episode goes on, and it ends with, basically, you know, stay tuned for Mother Lauren. followed by Mother Lauren, and 2 free hours of Mother Lauren. And, you know, Cecil's been talking this whole time, but as he's been talking, his voice slowly gets replaced by her voice.
Yes, and she says, "Good night, Night Vale." Good night. That wonderful combination of the cheerfulness with everything else is just so perfect.
Yeah. So we had had an episode a few months ago where she was talking with Kevin, and I know she's been sort of transformed and everything. She and Kevin are still not quite on the same side, though, right?
I think they're closer to enemies now. I think there was always, I mean, it's the desert otherworld, so they weren't really friends. But yeah, I think he may have rebelled or helped to rebel against her, which is why she went through this transformation. But we're ending the episode where she's still in charge of Cecil and all of Night Vale. So, yep.
Man.
And the artwork for this episode, I think Jessica Hayward does the artwork. Oh, this one's great. I would almost, I would actually kind of like a copy of this because it's just a bunch of mouths and eyes and teeth.
Yeah, I want to say that they usually make that stuff available for like a print and whatever, but sometimes they'll make a poster. So yeah, this was she's really good. And we always use like one of her images when we post it onto Instagram. We include her images. She's definitely one of, they've had so many artists who've worked with them over the years, and she's definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, she's iconic, her artwork now. It's what I think of when I think of Night Vale.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so that wraps us up for Night Vale for the week. Next thing we wanted to talk about, you actually watched the first 2 episodes of Mayor of Kingstown.
I did, and I love how reactionary Jeremy Renner's character is. Like, there's been multiple times in just 2 episodes where you will see something that looks like it's leading up to a storyline that will play out over several episodes, and he just short circuits it by punching somebody or just like driving a car into somebody's yard. And he does it without even pausing. He's just like, okay, well, I'm just going to do this. And then you're just like, whoa, okay. So really like that. Really like the fact that nobody is safe in this. Mm-hmm. I mean, major characters. Okay, well, I guess their story is done with.
Yep.
But yeah, I could see what you were talking about with the idea of people seeing what's about to happen when they're about to die. Because the second episode had Jeremy Renner's character accompanying somebody who's been to his office many times with her and her family as her brother is about to be put to death for like doing a gangland shooting where a little kid got killed. And that was just like, oh, they don't look away at any of that. I mean, you see the whole process and you just have to wonder, God, what would that be like to be anybody involved in that? I mean, the person it's happening to, but everybody who has to watch it as well.
Yeah, yeah, they don't shy away from that. And that's not the last time, not that particular thing. That's the last time you'll see that particular thing in the series so far. But that's not the last death we get where somebody has a very good look about what's about to happen to them. So it's gracious.
Yeah, yeah, the SWAT team took out a really, really awful person. And again, it was something that I thought was going to be playing out for many episodes. But just the businesslike way that the SWAT team leader had the person help him out with shooting him to make it look like a justified shooting.
Yeah.
Just, you know, your jaw hitting the floor, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I love that guy, the SWAT leader and everything. I mean, you'll see him several more times. God, there's something about that character that I just really like. I mean, he just no fucks to give.
He has no fucks to give. There's something very wrong in his brain. But at the same time, he's just like, just kind of cheerful. Yep, this is what we're doing.
Yep. Yeah. I think the first season is so solid from beginning to end. I mean, and I think you're really going to like how it ends. Now, the thing is, when the first season ends, it's not like it's the end of everybody's story. You know, there's still more to go. But it is like a pausing point for what happens that I kind of like. So I've been watching the second season, and it is so interesting to me. And by interesting, I mean not cool. Something's changed, and the writing has lost this degree of sophistication, and I can't put my finger on it, but it's a different show. Yeah, I am now on the, I think, 8th episode out of the second season. So far, the 8th episode, I've really been enjoying. It hasn't quite hit the high water marks that the first season hit, but I did notice that the 8th, 9th, and 10th episodes of the second season were the highest rated ones of the second season. So that's good. I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, if you were to watch the first season and feel like, oh, well, that was fun, I can stop here, you'd be fine. If you watch the second season, go into it knowing that the stories are going to continue, but there's something that's been lost, and I don't entirely know what it is.
And it kind of reminds me, this whole thing, about the Raised by Wolves TV series.
Yeah.
Like, the episodes that I watched, nothing wrong with them. That was just a really solid sci-fi story, but nothing matched up to that first episode.
Yeah.
And nothing ever will, I don't think.
And that's, I mean, I think that about a lot of cases is that you watch some shows and everything, and you're like, it's not bad. The problem is they set the bar so high, and it's just, once you set the bar that high, anything that comes after is not bad, but you're still disappointed, which is a shame. You know, everybody's doing a great job. Acting is still great and everything. The writing is definitely interesting. Also, there's one character who continues in the second season, and I've been hearing that they're not in the third season, and I've been avoiding the articles to say why, but I'm going to say right now, the character is definitely not written as well the second season, but we'll get into that after you've watched a little bit more.
Okay, yeah. I've been following the story about the Furiosa movie coming out, and there are so many people talking about how it's been a disappointing release, but it's like, it's already made $10 million.
Yeah.
And the people that have made the most sense talking about this are like, the problem is that the movie producers are expecting Marvel level release weekends, and we're no longer in that time period anymore.
No.
That stage has passed, and now we're all going to have to adjust, and they're going to have to find some way to make actual money for everybody, not just the owners of the property, but for everybody on streaming, because I think that's where it is now.
Yeah, and then some people have said that right there is the problem. I think Fall Guy, I haven't seen that yet. That's the one with Ryan Gosling, and I really want to see it, and a lot of people have said it's good, but it came out and it did not make like the Marvel amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's only been out for a few weeks. It's already been released on streaming, and that's the problem. Is before, when your movie was released, you'd have to see it in the theater for however long it was, and then you'd have a period of time where it wasn't in the theater, but you couldn't see it anyplace else, and oh my God, you've missed out. People know now. They're like, if I don't see it in the theater, it's going to be out on streaming in a bit, and I'll watch it at home. And unfortunately for me, because I'm not like, oh, what is it? Flix Watcher. They have that small screen score where they are really big into the idea that some movies have to be watched on the big screen. I get that. I do. But I've always been of the idea, it's like, I know it won't be as splashy to watch it on my little screen at home, but it'll be fine. So that's what they're fighting against now. I'm like, if I don't see it in the theater, I'll just wait a couple weeks and it'll be out. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, well, if more movie theaters were to institute a policy like Alamo Drafthouse, where you actually have a little button that you press if you want to write another order for something to eat or drink, and you can use that to let the, you know, servers know, hey, there's somebody being super noisy, and then that person will get thrown out.
Yeah.
But they can't do that in other movie theaters. I don't know why, but it's just like, streaming, it might not be the big surround sound experience with a gigantic screen and getting to enjoy the audience reactions, but you also have a level of control about your surroundings, and that's kind of important.
Yeah. So anyway, it's all been very interesting. So I'm gonna watch Fall Guy at some point. I meant to watch it when it was in the theater, but I didn't get around to it. So
That and Furiosa. I really do want to see Furiosa.
Yeah. Hugh, as everybody knows, our movie reviewer, he gave it an A, but you know, Hugh does like everything. But he did point out one of the disappointing things is that there is a lot of CGI in this movie, not like a ton like other movies, but more than was in the first one, because the first one was definitely about like, oh, it's all gotta be like practical effects and everything. And he feels like the decision was made to do more CGI because it's less dangerous, because honestly, some of those stunts were really freaking dangerous. His problem was they had seen some of the CGI in earlier trailers, but you can't always base the quality on the early trailers because they release that stuff before all the effects are rendered, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then he sees it in the theater and it's like the effects weren't any better. So he said they had a lot of time to release his movie and to make it right, and they didn't clean up some of the CGI. So coming from Hugh, that's a big thing for me because he likes everything. But the fact that he'll point that out, I'm like, okay, so it's the CGI.
Yeah, David did a review as well, and he said the same thing. Specifically, it was the CGI on the backgrounds because Fury Road was filmed in Africa, in an African country, with all this huge epic desertscape, and they didn't do the same thing in this movie. They did CGI background on green screen, and unfortunately, it's kind of obvious. But the effects, the stunt work is supposed to be, I mean, he even said in his review that it's really interesting that Fall Guy is all about stunt workers, and yet the highlight of their craft is Furiosa, which is the kind of stuff that they're doing there. So he really appreciated that. Appreciated the story, the fact that you get so much more background for, from stuff that happened in Fury Road. Acting is great, all that stuff, yes. But yes, CGI background's a little disappointing.
That's a shame, but that's all right.
You said Chris Hemsworth stole every scene, so I'm looking forward to see that.
Not surprised at all. So the last thing we're going to talk about is just actually a little bit of personal thing. This is what happened this evening before we started recording. So today, as of time of this recording, is Memorial Day, and I went to a local bar with my friends Wade and Mike, and we had a very good time, had some beers, and I was going to record tonight at 6. So I came home after having beers, and I set my alarm for 5:45, you know, plenty of time, except I didn't set my alarm for 5:45. I set it for 6:45. I woke up to find out people had been texting me and calling me. Now, apparently the beers hit me harder than I thought, because I was fucking out. I did not hear any of this. There's a knock on my door. It's Keith across the street, and he's like, "I'm checking to make sure you're okay." I'm like, "Jesus, I'm fine. It's okay." But all this is to say, I'm actually, in a way, I mean, I'm sorry for having upset people, because, you know, it was Catherine didn't know where I was. She's texting Jada. She's texting Ken, because she forgot that Ken doesn't live across the street from me. It's Keith. But Jada contacted Keith. And so that's like, I've got at least four people who are like, "Where the hell are you? Why aren't you answering your phone?" I have had friends, people that I've known who are much, much, much older than me, who have had some type of medical emergency and ended up lying on the ground for, like, we're talking like days, okay? So sometimes when you live by yourself, you're like, if I fall and I hurt myself, how long would I be lying here before someone would check up on me? Well, apparently, if you've got a recording session scheduled, it's 43 minutes.
And I know I went a little overboard.
No, but you didn't.
I had told Elizabeth when she finally got back to me, I'm like, "Okay, hang on, I've got to call off the guards," because I was just sending out messages. But she sent me a message at 8:25 my time saying, "Is it okay to record at 9? And I'm like, "Sure," because we had planned 8:45. So at 9:05, I said I was all set, and her little icon on the messenger thing was not moving down to show that she had read it.
Nope.
And it kept not happening, and it kept not happening, and I called her, and she wasn't picking up, and I'm like, fuck. So of course, I'm like, and you know, Nathan has seen me do this one time before years ago when I did not know your friends' names. And it was like even before Facebook was a thing. So he has seen me, you know, panic. So I was very restrained this time, but I knew to contact people because I was just thinking, it's like, okay, she wanted to push it back 15 minutes because she was running to the store. And now her phone is on the street somewhere and the ambulance is driving away.
Oh, God.
So everybody,
I'm so sorry.
Everybody, stand down, false alarm.
So I, like, you know, I'm talking with Keith and I'm talking with Jada, but I hadn't known about the Ken thing. And then I'm talking with you and you're like, "Oh yeah, I contacted Ken." I'm like, "You mean Keith?" She said, "No, I contacted Ken." I'm like, "Shit, I gotta contact Ken." So I'm sending him a message. And he responded back. He was so sweet. He was like, "Cool, I'm glad I didn't have to check to make sure your cat wasn't eating your face."
Which is another thing you wonder about. It's like, what would be the reason why she's not answering her phone or reading her messages? And that was something I wish I could find a link to. It. Someone on TikTok posted about, it was a teenager, and she had made this video asking if there was, it was, there was a name for the mental condition where you have so many texts and so many emails that you just can't, you're so overwhelmed you can't answer any of them. And he said, "Yes, there absolutely is. It is insane how we are all living our lives right now, because this is the only time in history when everybody is expected to be on call to their family, friends, and jobs 24 hours. And yeah. here I'm just like, I don't see that icon move to show that she read the message. So therefore something's bad, because at this point we might as well have our phones like intravenously attached to us.
And that's the thing. I mean, like, I had my phone on the bed next to me. I was fucking out, man. I was just so, I didn't hear the phone ring. And we even checked at the beginning of our call today. I was like, call my phone to see if it rings. And she called, it rang. So, I mean, man, I was out, but it was
it was hilarious, because Jada was just so good, because you know, she said, okay, yeah, Ken doesn't live next to them, I'll see if I have Keith and Eric's numbers. And I'm like, oh god, I think Elizabeth said that they were out of town this weekend, and she said I'll text them, and you know, back and forth, and she's obviously contacting Ken too to figure out, and Ken contacted me to say, hey, I heard what's happening, and if you can't find anybody closer, I'll go to check her out. And then Jada said at one point, maybe she's taking a nap and she lost track of time. And I'm like, exactly, son of a gun, that's exactly what happened.
Exactly what it was. Jada knows me really well. I am apologizing to everybody at this point. And I also sent a message to Wade and Michael, who I was having beers with, because I knew they're going to find this so hilarious. Oh my god.
And aren't you meeting up with Keith and Eric tomorrow?
Keith and John, I'm meeting up with them tomorrow. They're going to give me so much shit. Oh my god. So
they really are. You're going to be hearing about this for a while now.
I really am. But at the same time, like I said, I'm not entirely mad, because it's just like all these people were checking to make sure I was okay, and there were people who were ready to knock. Literally, Keith came and knocked on my door because he has keys to get into my building. So if I hadn't answered the door, he probably would have let himself into the room. So I'm like, I'm not sad about this. It makes me feel better. I'm sorry I panicked everybody, but I feel better about this.
So are we going to have to institute an everything's okay alarm at some point? Probably. If you're hearing this alarm, it means everything's okay.
Oh, God. Anyway, so that was my adventure for the day.
Yes, that was quite the adventure. Oh, boy.
Anyway, that is going to wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out PixelatedGeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. So we're about ready to hit June, which I always think is like Comic-Con Eve, I suppose. Mm-hmm, so June is all. I have already gotten myself and Alex DeHegeshon and Lauren Wilson are all signed up to go to Comic-Con. I have one more pass ready. I'm just trying to figure out who's available, because Leland has been working over at House of Secrets Burbank, and his boss, I think, had a back injury. So Leland's been like working full time with no breaks. So he may not be able to get down to San Diego for Comic-Con. So,
gosh.
Yeah, it's been exciting. But, you know, we will definitely have somebody in here. We love taking all the photos. It's always neat. So
good, good. Well, if I can make it to GalaxyCon, we will be taking some photos too. Because I haven't been to that for a few years now.
Awesome. All that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. Ugh, next week is the final episode of War Olympus.
Final episode. I mean, we've been seeing the posts everywhere talking about, oh, I can't believe it's over. And even Rachel has been making like the interviews about the end of the season, everything. And I'm like, you guys remember that some of us aren't fast passing the last episode, right? Let's not do them some spoilers for a little while.
Oh, that is one thing I'll be glad about. Once we have the final episode, I'll be free to wander around Instagram and look at all the fan art, because I feel like I've been looking at stuff like with blinders on because I'm afraid of spoilers. And I feel like even some of the fan art may have spoilers in it. So it'll be nice once we get to the end. I'm like, that's it. All the blinders are off. I can watch all the things.
Oh. We will have to do a big old photo gallery when that happens.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, all the fan art. But one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.
Ready to record. Car going by and recording. there was a nothing.
Oh, no, hold a second. It actually was Cecil who was talking about this.
Yeah. Damn. Shoot. On the dragon.